So tell me your name.
Sam Kulpenberg.
Sam, how did you get into the Kantishna area?
We went in 1975. We were leasing some ground on Lower Caribou Creek at that time. We later on, in fact, purchased the property from the owner. Which was, probably 4 years after that, I'm guessing, no.
Was it federal claims?
Yeah, federal at that time.
So how'd you get in there with your equipment and fuel and things?
We had to freight all our equipment and stuff when it was frozen, late winter, early spring. Fuel had to be brought into Kantishna the fall before, so that it would be available to freight. Conditions were good. So that meant that you had your gear supply of fuel tied up in Kantishna over winter.
How far was the Caribou Creek operation from Kantishna?
I'm guessing probably about 7 miles or so.
So were you doing okay on Caribou?
That was a good creek. It paid well, even at the low gold prices at that time. It paid well.
And what was that, $250 an ounce or something like that?
Well, the first year we were in there, I think we sold for 90 something an ounce. But that first year we didn't make any gold anyway, so it didn't make any difference. we were going to school. The price gradually rose, after that. But Caribou Creek was a good paying creek. It wasn't a bonanza by any means, but it was a good pay.
Did you have to move a lot of gravel? Did it have a good pay streak?
It was pretty well distributed, pretty much bank to bank. It was fairly low down in the creek, and it didn't make much difference where you mined. You were going to recover about the same amount. It did have a zone of higher pay, but it was minimal.
So about how much of the creek did you have on your claim?
Oh boy, let's see. Originally, we had a portion of at least, I don't remember how much. Then when we purchased it, we purchased the whole creek. Leonard Cragness and I partnered up on it and bought the whole creek. That is all the existing claim.
Was Kantishna pretty active then?
Yes, indeed. There were number of miners in there at that time. Let's see, there were at least two up on Glen Creek, one on Moose Creek, a couple on Friday Creek. I don't remember how many there were all together, but there were several.
Mm-hmm. And you had to go out through the park, then use the park road, basically?
Yeah. We were restricted for heavy traffic. We had to travel at night when there weren't any buses or anything to haul our equipment.
So, did anything, when they were talking about expanding the park, did they talk to you about that?
They had a big meeting in Kantishna to discuss it. And there were 102, I believe, people in attendance at the meeting. And 97 or 98 of the attending people voted to not include it in the park. And of course, Park Service had already determined they were going to do it anyway, so they did. The meeting was just eyewash. It didn't have anything to do with the facts.
What did they say about inholdings in the park then? Did they say much?
At that time, they maintained that if the inholders, like myself, would do the required paperwork, that we would be allowed to keep mining. That was the big bullshit story, which was outright lies is what it was.
So how did you start feeling the pressure from the park?
Oh, when?
Or did things start changing then?
Yeah, almost immediately there was a change in attitude. They wanted permits and paperwork and so forth.
Over and above the state?
Yeah, oh, way above.
So did you fill out the paperwork?
Indeed I did. When they finally, after three trips to the Ninth Circuit, the Park Service finally had to admit that my paperwork was complete. And at that time I had submitted, believe it or not, 80 pounds of paperwork. And they finally admitted that, okay, your paperwork is complete. And at that point, then they were trapped, because if you completed the paperwork, you could continue to mine. I completed the paperwork and they still wouldn't let me mine. So that meant they had stolen my property. That's what it amounted to.
So you had to go to the Ninth Circuit Court then?
Three times.
Three times. Was that in Anchorage where that had that court? Mm-hmm. Seattle?
South San Francisco. Home to Greenies.
So what happened after they said you couldn't mine then?
They came in. Well, I guess I got a little ahead of myself there, but when they shut me down, I was mining. They came in with a helicopter and a SWAT team with armored vests and automatic weapons and the whole goddamn bit, and handed me a cease and desist order, and I could not mine anymore.
And you'd got all your fuel in there at that time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was, you know, when you're dealing with a bunch of liars and thieves, there's very little that can be said. There's no trust involved at all, because they tell you one thing, they do something else. They're just a bunch of, they're just a pack of thieves, that's all they are.
So you took it beyond the circuit court?
Yeah, we went to Ninth Circuit 3 different times, and went, lost all 3 times because of, well, Ninth Circuit, San Francisco, what can you expect? I mean, you know, they're nothing but greenies anyway, the whole damn bunch of them. But the Park Service finally actually trapped themselves by saying if I completed the paperwork, I could continue to mine. And it took years for them to finally give up and say that my paperwork was complete. When they finally did that, then I had them pretty much by the balls. Yeah. Unbelievable. They kept telling me that, you know, as soon as you get your paperwork, we'll get you back in the ground. You know, you'll be mining before the end of the year, and so forth, and so forth. Which is, yeah, it's all bullshit. They had no intention whatsoever of ever letting me mine. They had no intention at all.
Did your equipment just stay on the ground then? Is that what happened?
Yeah, everything stayed there until, because they kept telling me that I can mine. So, you know, soon as we get this done, then you go back to work. Well, then I got all my equipment tied up, sitting back there making payments on it. With no income, they nearly broke me. The Park Service did in fact, I think, break just about all the miners in the district, because nobody could afford to go through the court system. Berta and I borrowed a whole bunch of money and expanded the Cantation and Roadhouse in order to generate enough income to fight the Park Service. And we were fortunate enough to be able to do that, we spent everything we had and everything we could earn fighting the Park Service, but ultimately, you could say we won. We did not win because of the attorney's fees and so forth. We about broke even after spending hundreds of thousands of dollars. But you could, if you wanted to, you could say we won. But there was nothing to be gained by winning, if we won.
Yeah. Did this case go to the Supreme Court?
No.
So you had to gave up your claims. Did you ever get any recompense, compensation?
The National Park Service finally cut me a check for, I forget just how they worded that, but it was for the claim. And they contracted with a third party to move my equipment out of the mine site to Camp Tishna.
You watched it on Caribou Creek, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. It was a good paying creek. Access was difficult, but I had the equipment, specialized equipment, to deal with that access. So it wasn't a real problem for me. Probably the most difficult was the fact that we had to bring our fuel in the fall and store it over winter in order to wait for the muskeg to get frozen so we could haul it into the mine. Very expensive to inventory that much fuel over winter for nothing. I mean, that wasn't Park Service's fault.
Berta told me that you guys really saw that as a place you could live and retire on.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought I would be there indefinitely. But, you know, I should have realized dealing with the government that it's not going to work. They're going to fuck you one way or the other.
Well, it seemed like a small mining community. It's now become a very large tourist community.
Right. And now the Park Service is saying that you know, we should have allowed some mining in there. It would have been a good tourist attraction. Yeah.
So it seems to me like you comply with all the regulations that are thrown at you from the state and whoever else.
I have. Yeah. From the get-go, I was recycling and doing clean water long before it was required by any regulation. I attempted to get the rest of the miner in the district to clean up their act a bit, because I could see the writing on the wall. The Park Service was allowing these miners that weren't in compliance, if you will, to continue to operate, knowing goddamn well that this Euroclub was going to sue them. So the Euroclub and the Park Service were sleeping together. The Park Service was allowing the degradation of the water, so that the Sierra Club had a license to sue, which they did. I mean, it was pretty damn obvious. I mean, it was a given. That's what was happening. They were sleeping together. And one said, you know, you do this, and we'll do that. And so it was.
Hello,
John.
Hi. I think we said it. I think I got enough ideas
here.
You
got pretty much what you need?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Yeah. Good. All right.
I don't stick you anymore with any pins.